Hello, everybody. Welcome to a new episode of the Digital Embellishment Show. Today, it is my absolute pleasure to welcome Ryan Moskin, the marketing manager from Harrison Bruno, to the show. Ryan, what's up, man? How you been?
Oh, busy as always, but I'm loving it. How have you been, Kevin?
Good, good. I mean, it's kind of fun to watch you guys. You guys are really starting to break out into the digital embellishment world with your new machine. Tell me, what's that been like for you guys? Because I know you're a creative guy. How's that been like for you personally? How have you been living it?
You know, you can see it right here. It's been awesome. Harrison Bruno, we've been around for over 75 years now. Our primary focus has been in the coding industry. And, you know, the digital embellishment space is brand new for us. So as a creative and being able to take just various files and change them, play with them, put it on the machine, and then see what comes out has been extremely fun and exhilarating. And it's phenomenal how quickly you can take an idea and turn it into a proof of concept and then into a final piece of work. It's incredible.
Well, I remember when I first started seeing these machines out there, and like in the middle of the night, I wake up with an idea. It's like, oh, we could do this. This would look cool. Or, oh, we could do this effect on that. Are you kind of having some of those?
Every day. just the other day, I was literally walking out of here. I got in my car, and as I was driving away, I forgot what I saw outside, but it was like this kind of like streak of like this light. And I was like, what if we put that on this piece? And like, as soon as I got home, popped open my computer, opened up Illustrator, edited the file. I'm like, all right, as soon as that machine is up and running the next day, we're going in. And I want to run this, and I want to see what it looks like, just because it's that simple, right? You're not waiting 2 days for, a die to come in. In your mind? Is it ready to go? Let's go.
Now, I think it's kind of interesting too. And I don't know if you want to go into this, but I know that in my time in digital embellishments, a lot of what I used to fight with was the surface tension, right? So is it the right surface tension? Is it too much? Is it too little? It sticks, it doesn't stick, the varnish peels off, the foil, you know, scratches off, or doesn't spread well, or spreads too much sometimes. And I think a lot of people just laminate to make life easier. And lamination looks fantastic. Let's be honest. Mm-hmm. It looks great. But it is expensive and it is slow. Tell me kind of your approach and what you've been seeing, because you guys actually put like a flood UV coater and aqueous coater in the front of your machine called the ZRX. Tell me about why you did that and what kind of stuff you've been playing with.
That is an awesome question. And you're right. I mean, lamination, it looks beautiful, feels great, but it is slow. It's going to have a lot more labor involved, and it's expensive. And then the biggest thing is it's not very eco-friendly. There's a lot of pushback on those single-use plastics, especially when, you know, we're talking about the European Union right now, right? They're doing a ton of pushback on that. Coating, on the other hand, is something we are very familiar with. We're extremely familiar with surface tension, and something that we've worked with that for years. When it comes to flood coating that sheet, we're thinking about it like a sandwich almost. You have your substrate, and then you have your ink, and then you have your coating, and then now the digital embellishment on top of that. So we have all these different layers. And what we found with coding is that it's neutralizing a lot of those variables. If we're able to take a coding and put it on top of those other two layers of the sandwich, the substrate and the ink, well, compatibility, now that doesn't matter. We're worried about the compatibility of the coding and that digital embellishment on top. So by being able to neutralize the ink and the substrate, we're able to take uncoated media, for instance, and digitally embellish on that in a single pass.
So that's a big one. I think that's probably the biggest one that I've heard of, is being able to basically almost do like a barrier seal on top of that uncoated. And so the varnish, so those of you who don't know, when you put, you know, inkjet, especially thick amount of inkjet varnish or polymer or whatever you want to call it, onto uncoated, what happens? It just gets sucked into the paper. So what you guys are doing is you're kind of creating that barrier. So I have a question for you. If I'm flood coating, let's say I'm a customer and I want this kind of paper. It's fancy paper. It's expensive paper. If I flood coat it, don't I kind of just kind of throw all the cool things about that paper away? Or how does that work? Like, does the flood coating damage the paper, change the paper?
That's a great question. I mean, it depends on what you're trying to do. Does it have to change the properties of the paper? No, not necessarily. If we're using something more like a barrier coating, no. That's just going to be protecting the fibers and preventing the inkjet from hitting the page and going in. It's going to basically create a nice surface for that inkjet technology to sit on top
of. But it's not going to change the paper.
No, you're still going to be able to feel those nice fibrous, uncoated feeling pages that you're wanting to get. Now, if you're going something with like a soft touch or a grit, of course, you're going to be changing the feel of it. Yes. But when you're choosing like a barrier coating, no, you still get all those nice warm properties that you would expect out of an uncoated media.
So it's kind of cool too, is, and I saw this at Drupa cause we were very close, during the show. You guys were promoting something called X-Mat. And for those who've never seen what Harrison Bruno is doing with the X-Mat, it's the closest thing I would say to a traditional embellishment, because embossing. And usually when you think digital embossing or digital, tactile coatings are super glossy and, they really reflect the light. And you guys are doing one that's like super matte, almost like a soft touch spot rays. And what's kind of cool about it, it's not just where the rays is, it's also on the rest of the sheet. So like, I remember showing people samples and I looked at samples. The first thing I did was like try to flip it around. I didn't understand what was going on. Can you tell us a little bit more about some of that stuff that you're doing on the X-Mat?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the X-Mat is probably one of the coolest things that we've done with the ZRX so far, because just like you said, it looks like an embossed sheet. And if we had a dollar for every time someone picked up one of those sheets and flipped it over and they were looking for that, the concave emboss mark, I mean, we wouldn't have to sell a machine at that point.
Do you have any samples that we could see? I mean, I know that you got some cool samples back there.
Actually, yeah, I do.
Yeah.
You can tear down my wall for it, but yes, I do.
You got some X-Mat for us?
Yeah. This is actually when we ran it, the Drupa.
Yeah,
and it's not going to come off on here as nicely as it would in person, but wrong way here. There we go. You can see these kind of hexagons in the background there. They look a little more glossy on this camera because I'm trying to get some light on it for you. But those are actually just raised
matte
portions there, and it looks embossed, it feels embossed, but you flip it around on the back side. I mean, there's just a plain sheet.
I'll tell you what I think. I think a lot of people are going to enjoy that in two parts of the world. Number one, I think luxury companies are probably going to really enjoy that look because it's a new look. Let's be honest. It's a look that I haven't seen before. The only closest thing I saw is when we used to try to use matte clear foil to do that effect. And then it still looked different because the paper underneath was still not getting any foil transfer. So there's still like a big difference. And I think the reflectivity here, the whole reflectivity of the sheet is more or less the same. So I think that's pretty cool.
Yes.
So I think honestly, luxury companies, and I also think a lot of companies are going towards a more eco-sustainable look and feel to their brand. And I think sometimes when you just have that glossy 3D, as cool as it is, sometimes it kind of does come across as plasticky, and that sometimes people kind of in their minds associate it with not a an environmental or sustainable look, even if it's the same thing. Sometimes it's just perception, right? Optics is 95%.
I mean, here's to tack on to what you're saying there. Go check out like the cosmetic section at Target, right?
Yeah.
Half of those packages over there are going to be like either in a matte kind of coated paper or even uncoated for that matter. And a lot of them are going to have that embossed look. Because they're, you know, when you see uncoated or matte, it does look a little more natural, or it can look a little more high end, just depending on what they're trying to do. But this kind of raised embossed look, I mean, it's perfect for those kind of markets.
Yeah. And there's also another aspect to it. I think there's a financial aspect to it that people probably aren't thinking about. But, you know, uncoated papers generally are easier to find and less expensive to buy. Obviously not the specialty high end, crazy papers, but generally speaking, uncoated is easier to find and cheaper to buy than C1S or C2S. Would you agree or kind of disagree with that?
No, absolutely. And that's, you know, that's something that a lot of companies, that buy our coating machines do, right? They're going to buy uncoated sheets. They're going to prime them and then they're going to have them ready for, their press, right? And like even on a web press, for instance, sometimes they'll have two of our coating units. They're going to have one before the press, priming the media, and it's going to go into the press and then out to post coating. So it's, you're right on the money.
Yeah. I think that's going to be interesting to see how the market reacts to that. And you know, it's funny because you were on our designer meetup, you know, we do once a month, we get all the designers who are designing for embellishment, to jump on and have conversations, just like a free flow. And one of the topics that came up last month's call, was that one of the major companies who are doing embellishments went out and, I'm just kind of curious to what your thoughts are, went out and focus groups on digital embellishments. And what they found was that the value, perceived value of those pieces went up till about that like 40, 50 micron thickness. And then as soon as it went too high, the reaction was what? Do you remember from the call? Yeah, people found it to be cheaper. So even though it's more expensive to make and it's slower and all that stuff. And I was kind of curious what your thoughts were on that. And if you agreed with that, that focus group.
I mean, absolutely. I think a lot of it is going to come down to a little bit of an opinion, right? What might look great to me, you might not fancy, right? And and I think a lot of that is going to come down to personal taste. But I do think there is something to be said about too much or too little. And there is a little bit of a sweet spot where a majority tend to focus, because if you're building it up too high, if it doesn't look like it's part of the product, but rather it's on top of it, if you will, it does look cheap. It does tend to not flow as well.
Well, it's 100%. Funny. It's funny. And that kind of rocked me to my core, because I always thought, you know, the thicker stuff is always going to be, but no, it's like people actually had, there's diminishing returns on how thick you go. So listen, another question, you know, Harrison Bruno, you know, you guys are really big. You guys are, I don't know how many thousands of installations you have of your flood coating towers and offsets around the world, but you've primarily worked with, I guess, with manufacturers to really go to market. And now you guys are really going directly to customers. How has that been for you? Because now you're having to kind of recalibrate a lot of your marketing, and trying to get the word out there that you guys, you know, have this type of technology. What's that challenge been like for you guys?
That's a really good question. So, I mean, when it comes to digital embellishment, for instance, it's going to be a little bit different. When we're talking about coating, we're talking about kind of putting that final touch on the sheet. And a lot of times people are using it to protect their print. They're not necessarily using coating to embellish like this. Yes, you can, obviously, with, you know, the soft touch or reticulation glitter, but for the most part, it's going to be a lot of protection.
Right.
With this and with digital embellishment, there's a lot more going on, in the sense of your designers are working directly with your pressmen quite a lot now, right? Like side by side in some instances. I know, like when we're running pieces out here, sometimes it's like, all right, can we maybe in the design make this line a little thinner? Can we make it a little thicker? And then when we take it on the press, it's like, okay, but can we adjust this setting here or that setting there, right? It's a lot of collaboration, a lot of back and forth. And I think that's one thing that this machine really lends itself to, right? It's a lot of, it's no longer just a piece of equipment. It's something where more than just the pressmen are involved. It's a big collaboration across the whole press operation, really, from pre-press, design, the operators. So it's just very different in how we're presenting it.
I'm sure. It is. And you guys have such a good name on the market with what you've built up till now. And those of us who kind of know Harrison Bruno and kind of seen you guys reinvent yourself almost every 10 years on the dot, it's really kind of cool to see you guys reinventing yourself in digital at this very moment. Tell me about you're going to Printing United, right?
We are, yeah. We're sharing a booth with you.
Oh, surprise, surprise.
Yeah, I know. We're going to Printing United, and we're really excited about that because, you know, we're obviously talking about the robust ZRX and how we have our world-renowned chamber analog system on it that's really shaped the way coding has been done. And then we're pairing that with your absolutely fantastic and groundbreaking software that, I mean, I got a chance to see a few really cool demos of this stuff, and it is mind-blowing what it can do from the visualization aspect of what your embellishment's going to be. So from a creative's perspective, I love that because I can get a better idea of what I'm going to see at the end product. From like the sales, marketing, and design software, all that, it's like it's a whole package because I haven't seen anything like this out there. It's phenomenal.
Well, it's definitely, we make a good team, and we do appreciate you guys having us as partners, and we're looking forward to great Printing United. Last little question. If you had to pick, would you go with varnish or would you go with foil?
I don't get any other parameters, just varnish or foil.
If your machine could do either just varnish or just foil, what would you pick?
Oh, do I still get the flood coat capabilities?
Yeah.
Oh man, that's a hard one. I'm gonna go with varnish.
Okay, very good. I love it. You can get some textures. You can do some crazy stuff. You know, I'm just thinking outside the box here, but with flood coating, you guys are doing UV and aqueous up front, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you guys can run all that goofy shit also up front. Like you can run like scented coatings if you wanted to. You could do scratch and sniff stuff. You can do. Is that something that you guys have tested yet or no?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we've run scented coatings through that thing, and then the whole place smells like leather or oranges for a week. But, I mean, great smell.
Very cool. All right. Well, I can't wait to see some of that scented varnish come out one of these days on a cool sample.
That'd be fun.
All right, Ryan. Well, listen, that's all the time we've got today. Thank you so much for being such a great guest. Congratulations on a really cool looking machine, and the samples are great. And I guess we'll see you in Las Vegas, my friend.
I'll see you in Vegas.
All right, buddy. Thanks
again. Thanks, Kevin. Appreciate having us.